5 seconds of quiet and then start the show.
Yeah, I think I am good to go. Yep.
Nice rhyme there, Emily Dickinson.
What? I said, yes, I think I am good to go.
Yeah, I said, ready to start the show, and you say, yes, I'm good to go.
I didn't notice I rhymed with you. That's too complicated for me. All right. This is way too complex. I'm already running out of water, dang it. Okay, let's go.
All right. Welcome back to Squelch. I'm Dano.
I'm Enthralamund, and we're here to remind everyone that Hearthstone is a game, and that games are supposed to be fun.
If you like what you hear today, head over to Apple Podcasts or anywhere else, really. Give us a 5-star rating and a comment, and we'll, you know, read it on the show, and you'll become our favorite person in the universe. So this week, we do have a new 5-star rating from LOL at Trolls. Well, sorry, LOLs at Trolls with Z's.
So I prefer LOLs.
Lols at Trolls. Lols at trolls. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think you can just go ahead and say, okay, boomer, to me.
Out loud at Trolls?
I assume so. And I assume they're talking about the movie Trolls that didn't have any trolls in it. Trolls 2.
Oh, I think they laugh at internet trolls.
I assume as well, which I can appreciate.
You're making a joke. I'm sorry.
I was making a joke. We are off to a great start. We are off to a great start. So
you were making a joke.
Bum, bum, ba, da, right. 5 stars. Great Hearthstone podcast.
Aww.
Blizzlet is a great podcast. Dan and Ted.
It is. Blizzlet is a great podcast.
Dan and Ted host a dynamic and fun show. However, they often get off topic. If you're looking for a place to have a good time while getting a hint of the latest Hearthstone happenings, then this may be the podcast for you. Oh yeah, Squelch is the same but with different hosts. LOLs, LOLs at Trolls.
Well, thanks. And a few less curse words over here for sure. But Blizzlet is a great show. It's a lot of fun. And I appreciate being compared to them because they do a good job too.
They do do a good job. So thank you, LOLs at Trolls. You've replaced Based Ink as our favorite person in the universe.
Hooray!
Hooray! Hooray! Ping me in Discord, and I will get you your sweet reward.
Your major reward.
It is not a leg lamp.
I can't believe you just got that that reference. Congratulations.
A Christmas Story?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, on Christmas Eve, they play Christmas Story for 24 hours, and I probably watch 18 hours of it.
But I lots of people don't movie. Get the major reward reference. But you are also someone who used to have a Hallmark Christmas show podcast.
Hey. I had a Hallmark Christmas movie podcast because Hallmark Christmas movies are bad movies. Christmas Story is a fine movie.
That's true.
Slightly racist, but of its time.
I haven't seen it in a while. It's pretty racist.
Yeah. It's only racist at the end with when they go out for Chinese food. But it's super racist at the end when they go out for Chinese food. But
I shouldn't laugh. That sucks.
It's my dad loves that movie, and grew up in the 60s. That movie takes place in the 60s, 50s, right? So it takes place in the 50s. My dad grew up in the 50s. He's like, that's exactly how it was. And in my head, I'm like, no, it wasn't. That wasn't exactly how it was. But what makes the movie wonderful is it captures that nostalgic feeling that people have about that 1950s Christmas, which is about privilege and it's about all that kind of stuff, right? But I think we can acknowledge that it is a flawed movie and it's nostalgic for just a specific subset of people who are able to have that, middle class Christmas, right?
Sure.
And still enjoy it for what it is, right? I think it's okay to acknowledge those things, to talk about those things and bring those things up, but then also still, enjoy the media for what it is, right? We still read Mark Twain, even though there are words that we would never use, right? So, I think the same can be said about some of our visual medias. Oh, well, we read a lot of Mark Twain here in the United States because we're obsessed with him. So,
awesome. I know who he is.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on.
Did I go off topic enough there?
Yeah. card reveal stream. We're going to do a card reveal stream Wednesday on twitch.tv/regular/danoplay at 10 Central and 8 Pacific. We're going to hop on there. And we're probably going to go a little shorter than the 3 hours we did last time.
Yes, I would imagine we will.
We're not going to do all the cards, but I think we're looking at maybe doing a wrong answers only card review. And we just want to have fun with like expectations of cards and assumptions of sound effects. And we'll talk about things and whether or not we think they're good, but we're going to try and just kind of have more fun with it. So if you want to come hang out, we'll be doing that on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday, August 5th. So like if you're listening to this like next, like, you know, Tuesday, whatever that is, then it's already happened. But the VOD's probably still up. You can go watch it if you want. Hello. Yeah. Hello, you from the future.
Hello. You didn't know I lived in the future, did you?
Let's meet for tea after the match, shall we?
Past, right? So like,
because when you hear what I say, it's already happened, yeah.
Well, and that and you're 2 hours behind me, so...
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Right? So like, it's also... Like right now, it's 10 o'clock at night there instead of midnight here. That's great for you because you don't have to work tomorrow, but I do. So it's perfect.
So maybe we'll move on. I thought you were talking about the idea that all humans live in the past, right?
Because I think it's true, right? It
takes a fraction of a millisecond for any of our senses to be kind of like, you know, filtered and delivered to our conscious brain. So everything you're feeling and hearing has already happened. Seeing, it's kind of messed up.
I think the more interesting stuff is like, do we have any like control over our, you know, conscious, like so much of everything we do is unconscious. Do we have any conscious control? I have no idea. That's something that people on YouTube will talk about.
That was a pretty muddy question. All right. How did things go this week for you in Hearthstone, Dan?
No, it was good. It was good. So I played some Magi Mage at the request of some people in my stream. It took me, because you know how I play Hearthstone, right? I just fire through like the you've won or you've lost screen and then just hit like play, right? And I just do it super quick and like I don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. And so like someone asked me to play Magi Mage. I was playing Big Spell Mage. I was like losing more than I was winning for sure. And this person, like, I forget who it was. I'm very sorry. They just followed my stream on Thursday. And they're like, play some Magi Mage. I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. I'll play some Magi Mage. It's like a lot of fun. And then, like, for 3 games in a row, I forgot. And finally, Fondue was like, don't forget to play Magi Mage. Like, thank you, Fondue. I will remember. And I went like 6-2, like 7-2 with it. Like, it's super fun, right? And it's like kind of that wonky version with the funny secrets that I put into it, and which, you know, throw people off a little bit, but like you're able to get some value off like the free 4 drops, and like you're able to like, it's really good against Paladin because you can steal there. Like you play like the one through that steals a spell, and that can just totally monkey with like a Paladin early in the game, and it's kind of stuff was super fun. So
cool.
Put some Magi Mage, had a good time. 9 stars, I'm sure, again. I haven't had a chance to log in yet because we were just super busy this weekend. We went and saw life-size dinosaurs with Dean, and it made his entire life better, which was so much fun. Dino Adventures. If anyone goes to see Dino Adventures, the ticket's like $40, which is expensive. But then there's a $29 add-on that you can get. Like it's like a fun thing for kids. The incredible value, right? So you get like one of those eggs that is like, $9 that you like chisel like a dinosaur out of. You get like a plush toy, you get some cotton candy, you get, anyways, like, so if you do Dinosaur Adventures, definitely pay the $29, you get your money's worth 100%.
That's awesome.
But yeah, we're in line for 2 hours in our car waiting to get in. Dean was a trooper. Like he was just like on cloud 9 the entire time. And then right as we pulled up, like I started playing the Jurassic Park theme song, and it was like, it was maybe my proudest moment as a father. I'm not going to lie.
Has he seen Jurassic Park? That's a scary
movie. No, he's not.
Man.
I've read him that. There's a golden book, you know, golden books, little golden books with like there's a Jurassic Park version of that, which is still pretty scary. And we will read that from time to time. So, Yeah, but I also read him like
I don't think Nate's 9. I don't think he can handle Jurassic Park. Like, I know some 9-year-olds can. Mine wouldn't be able to. It'd be too scary. Yeah.
But I think I said before as well. Like I also like have a couple like H.P. Lovecraft like children's books that like some of my favorite authors put together. So like I've read like
Call of Clifford the Bedtime.
Yeah, it's like Clifford the Big Red God, right? I've read Clifford the Big Red God, and there's a couple other ones. So like he's kind of used to that kind of stuff.
What is wrong with you?
Sure. We watch a lot of Scooby-Doo, and I have to go back and like watch like some of the Scooby-Doo. What's funny is we'll watch Scooby-Doo, and there will be
Scooby-Doo
like a
is
monster.
Like children's horror. Yeah.
Yeah, it so is. The 2004 series, by the way, which is a trip. It's a 2004 series on Netflix right now. It's got like an actual story arc, like through the first season and so. Mm-hmm. Like there was some weird relationship stuff between like Fred and Daphne, and Fred's kind of got some weird. First, I thought it was awesome because he was totally asexual and just unaware of like men or women in like any sort of like relationship way. It's really kind of fun to watch. And then it turned out that they were just playing him as kind of like a blockhead with that kind of stuff, and now he's like super protective of her in like a really awful way where he's like scheduling her day. It's just ugh. But the story is super cool. There's this monster where like it had like a big like mouth in its stomach, and it was like super gross, and Dean like thought it was hilarious and wanted to like watch it over and over again. But Professor Pericles is a talking parrot with a scar, and it scares the crap out of Dean. Scars frighten Dean to no end. Like,
well, someone got hurt to get
funny.
The scar. Yeah.
So yeah, it's but yeah, that's yeah. So
that was your week.
Anyway. Yeah, and then on Thursday, this Thursday this week, the expansion is gonna drop. Gonna stream because I always stream on Thursdays. Gonna play some deck roulette, so gonna go just like pick random decks from people that they put together on, you know, the different like deck aggregate sites, and not, you know, pros decks, but like, you know, decks put together by people who think this will be fun, and it's might be fun and it might be terrible, or might be, you know, boring, and it's, you know, so we're gonna pick other people's decks to play, and we're gonna probably lose a bunch, but it'll be a good time. So
it sounds like fun.
Yes, I think so as well. Hooray. What did you do this week in Hearthstone and Thralamund?
Well, Dan, all right. So first I had that weird time where I didn't know what to do because I was sitting at like rank 600 or 700. So I'm not going to finish top 100 likely. And I just want to sit for my times 11 multiplier. So I had that weird space where I wasn't quite sure what to do. I played some Diablo, and I also played some Battlegrounds, and I'm trying to climb my Battlegrounds rank back up, because especially when I was at the hospital the other day, like a couple weeks ago, I think I started 6 different games that I quit out of because the doctors came in or the nurse came in. So I think I literally like threw away 600 ranks and just that one day. And then I do it pretty often. In general, I probably quit a third of all my games at some point. And that might be because I forget I'm playing, or
it's really funny.
Yeah, I don't know. Whenever there's dead time in it, I just like walk away, or I do it, or I don't know. It is pretty funny. So I've decided I'm going to try not to do that. And because especially this week I was climbing in the 6000s, and I had like 4 of 5 games were first place. And I was like, okay, this is like not, I shouldn't be here. Like I need to get out of here. I need to climb the ladder. So I'm going to focus on that a bit more. But the Pally Pally deck is still working really well. I really like the list that I kind of built after the nerfs. It's just a little different from other people's. Mm-hmm. I posted that on Twitter. Some people liked it, and I got some good feedback. And I did a coaching with Number Theory today that went really well. And we had a blast playing it. And one of the really cool things about the coaching or co-op play with peers or mentoring or teaching in general that I really like is it forces you to kind of put your thoughts into words that are easy for someone else to interpret. And so when you're working to explain something more than once or just even once in a really kind of solidified way, I find that it really like it kind of cements your understanding of your own opinions or your own ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a really lovely thing to kind of, I don't know, I work through a lot of my ideas out loud in my life when I'm like kind of just figuring things out. And so that was really nice. And he had some awesome insights. And I think I had some like things that when I put them into words, I was like, yeah, that's how I think about Hearthstone that way, you know, or this. So it was really fun today. And we did, I think we did well. I think we won more games than we lost. Pretty sure we
did. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was
fun. That's great. Yeah. One of the things that I've tried to do in co-op play, and I haven't done as much co-op lately as I probably have in the past, but that's just kind of where I've been at with Hearthstone probably the past, I don't know, month or so. Not in a negative way, but just that, you know, other things have kind of prioritized. And then, like, things are pretty crazy around our house because, you know, Sarah's getting ready to go back to school, and that's... she's a first grade teacher, and that's really scary. And so like playing a PvP game hasn't necessarily been like super interesting at this point for me. I really want to turn my brain off. I think I've talked about this before. Like with Diablo, I turn my brain off and I kind of get in like a meditative state with just like hitting the keys in the right order. But with Hearthstone, it's a win-loss type of situation. And
And you can go to bed after a night of Hearthstone not feeling good, right?
Yeah, like, right. Yep,
100%. That can happen. Yeah.
And so, like, I've been playing on stream and a little bit here and there off stream as well, and I enjoy the game quite a bit, but, like, it just hasn't been, I haven't been, like, just super excited about it. But one of the things that, anyway, back to where I was talking about with co-op play, though, one thing that, like, can happen in co-op, and it happens with me, you, and Matt at Arms a lot when we're playing, is we'll just, like, scream over each other, right? And so one thing I've done, like watched a lot of, is like I'll watch a lot of like chess streams and some chess coaching stuff, like when I'm falling asleep at night. And I work in a law school, and the way that chess coaching works and the way that law school teaching works, and they work in the same way, they use the Socratic method, right? Which is, you tell me what's going on, right? Like, I want to know what you want to do. I want to know why it's right, and then I want to tell you if it's right or wrong, right? Now, at law school, it can get pretty awful sometimes, and some professors think it's fun to make people look stupid. But
frustrating.
It's awful. It's awful.
Breeding insecurities in people doesn't help them succeed.
It doesn't.
Post education.
Yeah. No, but the Socratic method is, there's something to it as well with like co-op play, right? And so that's one of the things I've been working on is like, instead of just saying what I want to do and then having them do it, or more like, you know, well, what do you think? Or what do you want to do here? And then a lot of times they'll be like, oh, I'm going to do X because of Y and Z. I'm like, okay, that's actually really great. So I was thinking of this, but I think your play is perfect. Yeah. Or, you know, have them play it out and then be like, okay, so, you know, what I'm thinking is probably we want to do the value trade here because of this and this. And then they can kind of see that play out. And then you have that like learning moment through like, you know, through that misplay or whatever. And so,
yeah. And one of the things that's really cool about Hearthstone too, though, and a lot of areas of learning, is like today, number theory was like, well, I just haven't had as much success with the deck. And we get together, and there were turns where I said at the end of the turn, I would have done this if I was playing the deck, but because we slowed down and you mentioned this idea, like we're now doing this one and it's better, right? Like, two of us are always going to be better than one of us. Mm-hmm. And just because I've played the deck more and I understand it better doesn't mean that like I am always going to find the best answer. And so like one of the cool things about coaching for me is, you know, I play so fast, is it slows me down. And I think streaming does that too. When I'm streaming and I'm talking about it, I slow down. It makes me a way better player, right? And I think for teachers, it's the same thing. Like when you slow down and you can have that one-on-one, like, how are you thinking about this? Okay, well, this is how I think about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if they're like, well, you're saying this. And you're like, well, sort of. You know, those kinds of conversations lead to so much more growth than you should be doing it this way. Okay, next thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Totally. All right. So it's after midnight and I'm hungry.
Taste my grilled cheese.
I totally forgot about it. Oh my goodness, is that the best good? This should be the best good, the whole Ben Brode.
So go ahead.
If you don't know who Ben Brode is, you're probably fairly new to Hearthstone,
which is fine. Ben Brode,
and I always forget the other guy's name. Two people created Hearthstone in a room with sticky notes over months, which is this really cool story about kind of like how Hearthstone was created. But Ben Brode is the coolest dev ever. He's so lovable. His laugh. Yes. I was saying this to someone this week. I legitimately, in some way, and I don't mean to belittle grievement, but I do still kind of grieve not having been as part of reveal streams and part of like just the community, not even as a dev, just someone who, you know, he loved the game and he always shared his love of the game just through the way he talked about the game. And
yes,
and he's authentic. He is authentic and he's a really fun, loving, neat person. And I miss seeing that involved with Hearthstone a lot. So that was really cool. What we got from Bob, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so Ben Brode was doing, it's Fiverr, is that what it is? Where
Cameo, I think it's
Cameo,
called.
Cameo.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, so so you can just like pay a person to like say happy birthday or to say taste my grilled cheese. In the voice of Grom, right? And so
Well, it was funny because he was like, oh, it's Grom's famous taste my blade line, right?
Yep.
But really, we're the Naga, or what is it called? It's not the Naga sandwich. It's the
Sea Witch, right? No, it's the Corsair. It's Corsair. It's Naga Corsair.
Yeah. So, are we talking about the origins of this? We said we wouldn't talk about it a week or two ago. So essentially, Dan found the wrong drop, which wasn't his fault. Someone on the internet had labeled them wrong. And instead of playing the Naga sandwich drop, we played the Naga Corsair drop. And But now, obviously, the Naga Corsair was a take on Grom, right?
Yes. So. Yeah. And so Bob went up and just and paid Ben Bro $5, I think. Got it in our car right there early on it before it like raised up. It was like at least $15 earlier this weekend.
Oh man, that's so cool.
Yeah,
even and $15. I would pay $15 for a personalized Ben Brode message. Like, holy moly.
I almost want to like pay him some money. Be like, Dan, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah, go for it, man. Honestly, though, it felt. I don't fan out about a lot of people. I think I talked about this before. I'm a fan of Stephen Georgiou. You know, I'm a fan of. I'm generally more of a fan of how people carry themselves and how maybe my judgment of the character is a part of that. You know, I'm a fan of Cora Georgiou too. You know, like I'm a fan of people who, in my mind, like kind of approach life the right way. And also like, I just think they're so cool. I can't stand it. And, Ben Brode's one of those people. I'm a big fan. That meant a lot to get that, you know, like just talking to us, that video. It was cool. It was super cool. So thanks, Bob.
There's a video that accompanied it and we'll definitely post it on, we'll send out on Twitter after I'm sure most of the people who kind of regularly download the podcast can download it and kind of have that fun surprise. And then I'll post a video for everyone to kind of enjoy because it's just awesome. It's Ben Brode being Ben Brode and it's just like, and just like being completely unaware of our existence, but yet still, you know, like the Squelch Hearthstone podcast. I'm like, yeah, you know what it is now. You'll forget in 10 minutes, but I don't care.
I think I told you this before, but whenever I see him streaming, I'm like right in there no matter what it is. And he doesn't stream very often, but every once in a while you can catch him. And he was doing a VR stream 3 or 4 months ago. And I jumped in to his stream. And, you know, I've seen him on stream tens of times and been in there. And I thought, I've never written in his stream chat. And I was like, you know what? I just wrote this little note. I was like, hey, Ben, something like, I just want to know, I really like how you approach the game. And it's always just great to check in and see how you're doing and blah, blah, blah. Something like that. And he was like, Enthralamon, so good to see you here. Oh, I'm so glad you think. And that like made my life that moment too. Like I clipped it and I sent it to all my friends. I was like, oh my goodness. You know, it's weird to fanboy out about like Ben Brode. Well,
It's fun to like get to like for people who can truly enjoy something, right? Like I don't feel like there are a few people that just like just enjoy something and like have that like joy part of the enjoy, right? And Ben Bro is one of those people, like when he does something, like you can see that like he just has this like authentic, I love that I'm doing this and this is, I find this amazingly fun and I get to share it with you and I'm happy that you are also finding it fun. I think that's, and like, if, It's just not and, something we see a lot, right? And
it's nerve-wracking for them, too, as a dev, to come out in front of millions of players put yourself out there. Like, when Un'Goro didn't have a song, right? And people complained. This is where, like, this really got legs. Like, I liked Ben a lot before this, and he did the rap for Un'Goro. If you've just come into Hearthstone in the last couple of years and you haven't seen the rap, you have to understand this was a whole, like, day of Reddit and Twitter complaints of people being like, we didn't get a song for this expansion. And so Ben, in his hallway at home with a newborn, went home and freestyled or did a, like a rap. It wasn't freestyle. He wrote it did a rap and then like put it up there. And it's clever. It's not polished. And even in it, he's like, this was a mistake, right? Like, what am I doing? And it's so lovable. And then if you haven't seen the grilled cheese wrap, like, what are you doing?
Oh, gosh, Go
and play it every time we make grilled cheese in our house. Like, obviously.
It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah. It's so good. You know.
Yeah, but if you haven't
wear a parka, bring a flashlight after darka, like, it's just, like, it's unbelievable, right?
And if you, like, the Un'Goro wrap, and the most fun thing to do with it is to speed it up and slow it down. It's just so
sped
great.
Up, it's real good. It's real good sped up. Yeah. Oh, man. I forgot that. Can we play that again? I want to hear that one more time.
Yes, we can.
Taste my grilled cheese.
Oh, man. Oh, the laugh!
I know.
Oh, I miss you, Ben Brode. I mean, he's still Ben Brode.
Every time Second Dinner posts a job, I'm like, I'm not qualified for that, but boy, I wish I was. Like,
it's pretty cool. It's just all right.
Like, yeah.
Let's move on. I'm sorry. Yeah, this is a good. Yeah.
So our first good ingredient this week is Ali Straza is a good person. Looks legitimately a good person. So, earlier this week or last week or late last week, I don't remember what it was, late last week, she posted a video with her and RDU of like a bonkers game. It's one of the pre-release streams. I didn't watch it. But I follow her on Twitter and stuff, and I follow her on Twitch because I think she's a fantastic Hearthstone player and fun to watch.
Yeah, she's cool.
She said, oh, check out this, how do I pronounce it? Papeja. I don't know how to. Papega, sorry, I don't know how to say it. Game, and that just that kind of stuff just super bothers me, right? And so I just respond to her. I was like, hey, could we just not with that? It's incredibly offensive. And then I screenshotted the, what it means. No, and so Papega is a pejorative. Many use it to mean the same thing as a slur for people with mentally handicapped, as like a way to use the R word. It's often banned in chat, and so. And I know that was, my response might have been kind of snarky, but, like, I'm kind of just, like, it seems fairly obvious to me that, like, it means what it means. And maybe it's because I grew up in the 80s when that was, people just used that word all the time.
Oh, yeah, in high school, that was,
maybe that's just me being, like, aware of, like, I'm able to, like, read the context of that emote because I am aware of how people would use that word in context, right? So maybe that's
people
just
still use it in gaming communities a lot though.
Yeah,
like the that's not unknown to people who are in the context of Papega. Like that's the like and we were talking about this actually before the show, but the first time I heard the term, I heard it, I didn't see it, and I knew what it meant right away, and I googled it to check, and I was like, oh boy, like, why is this person saying that? The context of it was just like, well, that's when someone would use the R word right there. Yep. And it's said with the same kind of tone, you know? I've always been uncomfortable with the word, but I'm happy that you're just letting people know. That's all you were doing, man. I didn't read it as being snarky.
Yeah, but like, I read it for the first. I read it. I never actually heard anyone say the word. I've read it. So, like, I read it for the first time, and I was like, oh, gosh, I think I know what that person is saying. And then I Googled it, and I was right. But anyway, so she got back to me like right away. And she's like, well, it certainly wasn't my intention to use it in a way akin to the R word. I often speak in Twitch emotes and thought it was synonymous with silly in relation to the game. Truthfully, I didn't know it had that connotation, but ignorance isn't an excuse for offensive content. And then she had a little more to say after that, which was all awesome as well. But that last sentence, you know, I didn't know the connotation, but ignorance isn't an excuse for offensive content. That's... Yeah, 100. That's awesome, and like it's so big of you as a person to be able to kind of say that, right? Like, I sent her the tweet, and I was like, I hope that she says this, and then she said exactly that, and I was like, wow, way to go, right? Like, that is, those are all hard things to say, and it's hard to say it quickly and correctly, and like it was obviously that it was heartfelt and meant, and I was like, you know, thank you very much. It means a lot to me, and it does, right? Like, And so I just wanted to say, you know, thanks, you know, to her. And then thanks to, like, you know, the Squelch community, because a bunch of you just kind of, like, who followed me on Twitter also follow Allie and, like, saw that I sent that tweet out and, like, you know, liked my tweet and said, yeah, you know, thank you, Allie, for, you know, saying this. And that was also great. You know, I think that just kind of, you know, our community is amazing. I love our community.
This is a case of, like, I don't know. This is a case of like a lot of people don't connect the two, which is mind-boggling to me because it was obvious from the get-go to me. But you need to let people know, and if then you're like, you know, this is what this means, right? Like, that's what this is about. It's about an emote of a face who people connect with. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to, it's hard to say.
Yes. Yes. We're fine. I get it.
And we just need to say, hey, like, maybe can we not? And let the person then show kind of how they think about it. And like, that's not the time to shame. That's the time to just say, hey, like, could we maybe not do this? Because this is why. And then if they come back, like the one person did who responded to your thing and was like,
snowflake, the R word is great. And it's like, let's shame that person.
And,
we didn't,
and,
but
and,
I just
you
blocked
know,
them. But, you know,
and the other part of this first good, this is a two-part first good, is, you know, the major part of it is Allie being great and our community being great. And I'm thankful for everybody. Cause I think the majority of people in the Hearthstone community are good people. I do believe that. Cause I'm in multiple.
I think the majority of people are good people.
Yes. Yes. I agree 100%. But then I also, the other part of this first good is, you know, I am also thankful for people who just like make it quite obvious that I should just go ahead and block them. that's super helpful, right? Like there are some people who are like, oh, okay. Well, we're never going to see eye to eye. So I'm just going to go ahead and turn you off. And I appreciate that I can do that.
Yeah. There were a couple. There have been a few people in the Hearthstone Twitterverse lately that I've been blocking at a higher number than usual.
Oh, I'll block and mute. I don't have any problem with it. I'm like, you know, I just, you know, everything is hard. I don't need this in my social
media
right now.
This makes my life better for sure. All right, not so good. Today's not so good. Today we heard that Activision Blizzard CEO makes $40 million a year. This is your weekly reminder that they fired 100 people last year for no good reason. Back to the best good. Here we go.
So our best good this week is last week I asked for best goods because I'm lazy and I got some awesome responses. So here they are. So Falular just responded with from the World of Warcraft movie, it's Gul'dan just saying everything. And I'm like, yeah, me too. Me too, friendo. Me too.
I like that he said everything, but he's also evil while he says it.
And by the way, great stream, by the way. And he streams kind of mornings a lot of times, so definitely give him a follow.
Wait, is that kind of like maybe like a metaphor in a sense for like, you know, Gul'dan is addicted to fel magic. Maybe he's addicted to Hearthstone in a really terrible way.
Oh, he plays Demon Hunter? I'm kidding. That was a joke.
Exactly.
It's honestly
not
a joke.
Wrong.
I don't want to hate people who
want. No, we don't shame classes except
like honestly. Like if I had just started playing when Demon Hunter was a thing, I would have definitely been a because I was just like, I love those super aggressive decks, especially when I first started playing. I 100% would have just played a ton of Demon Hunter. So, like, I'm not out to deck shame anybody. I think
overly judgmental people are the worst, but especially overly judgmental people who play Demon Hunter.
All right, what did Lucky say? I'll take this one.
All right,
Lucky, constantly having new problems to think about. Solving isn't even the right term because the problems involve so many unpredictable variables. Praise Yogg.
Praise
the animations, Yogg. Artwork, and visual effects, the community. Yeah, and he's named some people. He named Hadija for visual effects and Ridiculous Hat, Blister Guy and Heatwave. And he said, I guess it's too obvious to include.
They responded to himself after not saying us in the first tweet, which I thought was the perfect response. And then says, I guess it was too obvious to include Danoplay and at Enthralmond 1, but you're awesome too. I bet Enthralmond is great, but the world will never know.
Why do I have two Twitter accounts? I mean, I know why, but...
It's so good. And my favorite part was you had the opportunity to, like, reclaim it, and you're like, nah.
I already got, like, 7 followers. Why would I switch back?
Oh, I know. I wouldn't say that you need to, like... I thought it was funny that you thought you could go back in and had, like, dumb stuff, whatever you wanted to it, like, deleted or something. But you're like, nah, I just want to live out there. I think it's awesome.
It's all good.
So, Noltown says... I like that it happens often where no game feels exactly the same.
Yeah.
That's so with you.
That's why, and I don't want to get into a big chess conversation, but that's why I'm not interested in chess. Chess is fantastic. I have nothing against chess, but it's why I'm not interested in chess. I love games that are different every time you play them. So, yep. and what I love about Hearthstone.
Yeah. And I can't tell you how many times I can tell you, and it's more than it should be. I have been forked by the knight knight has forked my rook and my king, and I've had, and I've lost my rook, and it's like at that point the game is basically over, and it's like, boy, I did it again. So I agree with Noltown as well. Do you want to read Steven Sensei's?
Sure. The community in general and some members specifically. It's not a Steven voice, but he has such a good radio voice.
Oh my gosh, it's so good, right? Just
the VS
smooth.
Podcast. If you're not listening to that, listen to that first of all. But second of all, he does the intro and the outro, and they're just, it's his voice is unbelievable.
Yep.
Yeah. The community in general, some members specifically, and then he doesn't mention who it is specifically. Yep.
I assume. Ben Brode and...
Oh, it's so lovely.
It's so good. And then
Steven Sensei does Arena Sensei podcast too.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah. And Steven Sensei, yeah. So definitely check it out for sure. And then Zethund says, and my favorite, and I agree, the friends I've made is my favorite thing about this game. And I said, me too. I agree with you there, Zethund. I've met some of my very best friends through this silly children's card game. And yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So. And you know what? Like the transition of my life from my 20s into my 30s is hard, having a family, and I socialize a lot at work, and I don't see my friends I grew up with a ton anymore, for games and stuff. I was trying to get out more before the whole COVID thing, but,
you mean the world changing?
But yeah, but you know what? A lot of the time, like Twitch really filled a really interesting place for me and podcasts when I started playing Hearthstone, where it was like, I just wanted to talk to someone about nerdy stuff. I wanted to nerd out, and my friends I grew up with, if they were playing video games, they're playing video games I wasn't interested in. And, just finding the Twitch, Twitter, Discord, podcast communities of Hearthstone really has been a really fabulous way to have a hobby where it's way less lonely than sitting by myself playing a game at my computer, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a lovely cure for loneliness. Not that I'm lonely. I have kids and a wonderful wife, and you know, but
But this was one of the things I think I've mentioned on the show before, but like I remember when this first all like happened, and I was listening to Minnesota Public Radio, and they had a guest on there talking about like, you know, like when, like, so it was right when the quarantine stuff all happened, the stay-at-home order from our governor. It was like, you know, what do you, and they had a guest on about, like, you know, loneliness and that kind of stuff, and what can people do? And one of the things they mentioned was, like, you know, go find an online community, and, like, there's a, if go find a gaming community. For there's anything. So many. Yeah, like, and they specifically mentioned, like, gaming, and I was like, yeah, I feel this, because, like, that's 100%. Like, remember when I got back from the Navy, like, for the first year I got back from the Navy, I didn't make, like, probably a single friend outside of, like, I hung out with my family a little bit in Mankato, because I was going to college. I went to college because I had family there, so it was purposefully. But, like, I didn't have any friends, like, other than, like, my friends from the Navy who I talked to on the phone, like, you know, once a week or so, and then my family, and then it was like my World of Warcraft guild, and like that was my like that they got me through like that first year. That was hard, because you go with like you go from like just being around your friends every day, all day, like literally, like you yeah. sleep and you work and you know, it's you just do everything with them, to like just living alone and the second floor of a split level. That's pretty dramatic. Yeah. And so like, I can't say like the Jinx Guild at World of Warcraft, like they, through some, like they were just like, they became like my good friends, and we would just hang out and just like I did. Yeah. It was so, I could not agree more. I think that's the same now with like the Hearthstone
community. Friendship is important. Friendship is really important to a healthy life. And, yeah, look, like, I always say, real life friends and online friends can be very different, but don't discount the value of friends online. That it yeah. doesn't, it does drive me nuts when people are like, when you talk about life and they're like, oh, you're friends with someone you've never met, and you're like, well, technically, like, we've never been in the same physical space, but with a lot of people, like, I know a lot more about you than I do pretty much all of my coworkers. You know what I mean?
It's yeah, like, I think it's funny. It's such a like a outdated thing. Oh, you've never met them? It's like, well, I mean, what do you mean by met them? Like, I've met them. Like,
you didn't breathe the same air, you know? You didn't like yeah.
I mean, you got didn't me sick cut couple wounds episodes into ago.
Each of your hands and shake hands and become blood relatives. Like, you know, like, what is your yeah, like, and it's not the same as friendships, but not all friendships are different from each other, right? Depending yes. on the context of them. And yeah, that's pretty cool. All right. Hey, we should move on.
Yeah, right. It's time for some salt.
Hmm? Not salty, are you? You will be.
That's really good.
It's I love Tito it. Back yeah. with the Yoda salt. Totally appreciate that. That's so. Great.
Not salty, are you? You will be. Love it. Okay, so I found some good salt today. We can just trade salt. Off. The first two here are from the reveal stream with Crypt. And there was so many people complaining that Crypt plays too much Battlegrounds to do a reveal.
Crypt
stream.
Did
Who
great,
cares?
By the way. People and, dogging on Crypt, like, back
and
off.
Also, he's played a ton of Arena and
Hearthstone, look, and Magic.
His percentage of like, his percentage of constructed is very low, but that guy's played so much constructed over the years. Like, give it, like, come on. He's a cemented figure of the community. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to people who are complaining about it. There were people complaining that it's in here. Never mind. Let's just read it.
But do you think there's anybody has played more games of Hearthstone than Crypt? I would bet there isn't. Or if they are, it's very few. Like, just like Arena, Constructed, whatever. Like,
I'm sure
my
there's
gosh.
Somebody, but yeah,
I mean,
it's a lot.
Not many, right? And
remember
not
when he was saving up dust for years and he hit the dust button and it crashed the client? That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we go. Do you want the first one?
Yes.
I'll take the first one. You got it.
Okay, you got it. No, you do it. You do it.
Okay. This is Andrew Descombe, and he says, I think I would have liked the music volume to be a bit lower.
There's a button on your computer that controls that, Andrew.
No, I think it was music to the chat, but it just made me funny because it was like, yeah, like, I don't know.
You're after the fact, right? Just saying, like, heads up, guys. Maybe next time. It's like, I'm sure they'll go over the video. And they can.
There wasn't
that
any like music during the card, like during like the actual like conversation. So the music was just before and after, right? Like,
I just think this is a lovely example of someone just thinking that their complaint needs to be heard. It's just like the most mundane. Like, who gives a. You know, anyway, let's move on. Okay, you take the next one.
So Oscar Icar, anyways, says, boring cards, underwhelming archetypes, and platting versus tryhard Chalky, not a fun reveal.
Okay, first of all, these are the craziest cards we've gotten in an expansion maybe ever. So, yeah. Like, boring cards is really weird. Second of all, like, Chalky, Chalky was playing terrible decks, and he played some turns that did not look optimal. So,
let's be honest, like, Chalky has been platting Hearthstone for a long time, and before he was platting Hearthstone on the reveal streams as a developer, he was platting Hearthstone professionally. So I don't know if try hard is really an insult like, here. Like, what do you think? What do you think? How should Chalky plat if not? Like, because it's his job to plat as hard as possible, right? And I mispronounced this person. I'm not sure actually who they were playing, who this person was actually. So I must have missed part of the reveal stream when Krip was playing against Chi Akaki.
It's too funny. All right, so the next place I went for salt was Trump card reviews, because, you know, those come out every expansion.
I love the best card. They're the only card reviews. If you're only watching one card review stream, first it should be ours, and second it should be Trump. And actually, first it should be Trump.
So the first thing you need to understand about Trump's card reveal streams is they're like hours, right? Like, they're like hours. So, yeah, this is the first one here from G80GZT, who says... Optimally, only ever having two minions? Like, dude, do you even play the game? Which my favorite thing about
doesn't.
This one.
Totally doesn't.
Trump? Yeah, I know. He does. My favorite thing about this one is he has some contextual comment from some time in, like, the 2.5 hour stream.
Sorry, I just read the next one. I can't stop laughing.
And, like, I have no clue what optimally only ever having two minions is talking about. I don't, like, yeah, it was pretty funny.
All right, anyway. I have for the next one. I can't. Yep. I read this it one. Just now, and I can't stop. So William Crosby says... Regis Kelvin did a relatively bad job compared to you.
This one was the gold. This was definitely the gold of the entire group. Yeah. So my favorite thing about this one is obviously the word relatively. Right? So not only did the person feel the need to throw shade at Regis in Trump's chat, but like the term relatively could mean any number of things. Like, in what way is it relatively a bad
job? Like, okay, so so Trump was like, you know, a 100 out of 10, and Regis Kilbin was just a 20 out of 10. So I mean, Regis did great, but compared to Trump, relatively to Trump, he didn't do very good.
I guess that's what he's saying. Like, it could still be good, but it's bad compared to you. Anyway, yeah. All right, this is Manuel Da Costa. School sucks. I'm skipping this expansion.
Great.
Like, you know, it's a card game about a fictional school, right? Like, it's not school. No one's making you go to school.
You don't have to actually.
School
study
sucks.
I mean, yeah, they don't disagree. Oh. So, do you want me to read the first part and you read the second
sure.
part?
Sure. Sure, go for it. This is the last one.
So JR345 says, I hate priests so much. Copying my deck is one thing, but outright stealing it has outright kill rank and PvP for me. Don't get me started how DH get 4 nerfs. I already see them all. I feel like I couldn't quite. Oh, I gotta try that one again. Okay. Sorry.
No,
I gotta try this again.
It's written like you're reading it.
So, I hate priests so much. Copying my deck is one thing, but outright stealing it has outright kill rank and PvP for me. Don't get me started how DH get 4 nerfs. I already see them all. Okay.
All right. So that's pretty funny. Just because it's funny.
Yep.
But
yes,
this is the weirdest reply in the world. So this person named Love says, "Stop complaining. It happens to me, but I always get my revenge. I save their username from players that play that way."
What does that mean?
I have no clue.
Okay, the only...
Wait, whoa. So stop complaining. It happens. But I always get my revenge, and I save their username from players that play that way. So the first part of their sentence is saying, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Jer. Don't worry about it. And then the second half is saying, but I agree, and not only do I care, I save their names on a list, and I get my revenge. How do you get your revenge?
The only thing, the first thing that comes to mind, and I do you remember the movie Billy Madison?
Absolutely, yes.
Do you remember remember Steve Buscemi gets
list of people
list
to kill?
And he crosses him.
It says
off
list
after
of people to kill.
It's that's all I can imagine. This person like having like enthrallment one. You know, it's like.
But like their name is Love, and then it's start their sentence. I'm like, oh, this is someone with a level head, and then I'm halfway through the sentence, and it's like making lists of people to exact their revenge upon. I don't know.
I love it.
Oh, YouTube is just a place.
Yeah. I never thought that, like, I always, when we first started, I thought, okay, Reddit will be the place to go, and then probably like Twitter. But it's YouTube, which I think says a lot about YouTube and a lot of, you know, about YouTube. But, but boy, like, don't go anywhere else except YouTube to find the anger. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That comment by Jer was edited.
Oh man!
What part do you think was edited?
Twice in one sentence. They probably had a different word and decided "outright" was just their favorite phrase. It twice. I don't know. It is edited. I don't know.
All right. Great. I love it. All right, time for some card reviews.
Taste my card reviews.
Who was that?
Matt at Arms.
Oh man, that was so good, Matt. I can't believe I didn't recognize his voice. I was like, wrong clip, Dan. Like, what are you doing here? That's fabulous.
By the way, these drops are way better than the nonsense I put together, so keep them coming, by the way, everybody. Yeah. I have a couple in the hopper, but like I will definitely play them all, so just keep on sending them. They're a treat. They make my day and week. Yeah. All right, so card reviews. So first card review. Ancient Void Hound is a 9-mana Demon Hunter card. It has 10 attack and 10 health, and card text that reads, at the end of your turn, steal 1 attack and health from all enemy minions. So the sound effect is just going to be, and I unfortunately can't do this, but just like I know everybody can like picture, so just picture David Attenborough, you know, the British guy who does all like the nature documentaries. Just picture him, like imagine him saying this and goes, "The ancient Void Hound has a bizarre evolution of one single eye on the front of their head and 4 eyes on their butt."
That's totally.
The ancient Void Hound, also known as the Butt Eye, colloquially.
Like, what exactly does the eye at the front of the... Like, it would be a scarier monster without that single eye. Like, if it just had, like, the butt eyes, like, come on now.
Oh, man, it would be so bad if you could see yourself poop. That would be
so awful.
I did not go there. That's not, I never went there. Like, how good is the art and theme?
I'm sorry.
Like, I give it a 99 out of 100. It would be a 100 out of 100 without the single eye. I think it'd be just super cool if it was just like cool tentacly eyes, but then like no like eye at the. I just think it'd be kind of creepy, right?
The art is fantastic on this card. I love it.
Well, 99 out of 100. Like, it's great. It's great. Don't get me wrong. It's wonderful.
No, I was agreeing. I was saying it is fantastic. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. How fun or interesting is this card? It is all the fun and all the interesting. I am going to play this card. I am not going to win games with it, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's just, I don't think we have seen a card like this, actually, where it's stealing the attack and health from enemy minions. That's awesome. It just sounds like so much fun. I'm very excited about this. How good is it? It's terrible. It's a terrible card.
This card is awful.
It is a total hot garbage epic that if you get it golden, you're probably safe to dust. Now, don't do that right away because I am always wrong about this stuff. But
It looks awesome golden, too. I saw someone on stream open it golden in a pack. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. I'm really hoping I get it golden. I really am going to. I'm playing Big Demon Hunter just because I want this to happen. And like I said, I don't think it's going to be good. I know it's not going to be good, but I still can't wait. So have you got?
I've got a Trick Totem. So it's a 2-mana totem. It's in Shaman and Mage. It's a dual class card. It is a 0/3. And at the end of your turn, you get to cast a random spell that costs 3 or less. People have a lot to say about this card. I can't wait to play it. We'll talk about this in a minute. All right, sound effects. So this isn't going to happen when you and I play it. But when the very first person of the very first game of the expansion plays this card, this is what's going to happen. You're going to play it, the person's going to play it, and it's going to say, "And now I shall cast a random... No, it was all a trick!" And the card is going to flash and spin, and the innkeeper is going to shout, "Wah!" And then he's going to say, "I was really just unnerfed Flame Tongue Totem this whole time!" And drop onto the board, and it will be the unnerfed Flame Tongue Totem. And that's what's going to happen.
Flame Tongue Totem. I don't feel like it deserved a nerf.
Poor Flame Tongue Totem.
It was so good at 2, and it's unplayable at 3.
Yeah.
Anyway. I will play this card. I will play this card, and the first thing it's going to do is it will cast Frostbolt on itself.
Absolutely. That is totally what it is doing.
I just expect it, and it's going to be awesome.
So how good is the art and theme? It's so good. I love the concept of a trick totem itself, something that does something unexpected. I love the bright colors. I think I love the art. I think the art's gorgeous.
The art's amazing. It might be my favorite card art of the set, which says a lot. It's not, but it's top 5 for sure.
It's right amazing. Up there for me too.
Yep.
How fun or interesting this card? It's super interesting. It's super fun, but I also understand why people don't like it. I think on 2, you could be doing some silly things in the early game that could win you the game, and it could snowball from there. And I get why people don't like it. I don't think it's good. I think it's really bad.
Yes, it is really bad.
See why people don't like it. Definitely.
The thing that people are going to obsess over is going to be the 3% of the time when it's good, right? But it's not like cast a random mage spell that's cost 3 or less. It's
not
cast
Yogg
a random
Box.
Spell.
This is not Yogg-Box.
Yeah,
but
this is just casting a random spell that costs 3 or less. Like, there's a good chance you could be overloaded going into 3 for 2 mana, right? Like,
Shadow Word Pain. You can, but you can also cast Renew, and you can also cast, like, I'm sure there's summoning spells, you know, like you could cast Mirror Image. You can cast, you know what? Actually, the one thing I will say that is kind of good is all the secrets are 3 or less. So any secret, and this is bonkers.
That secret might be that might be the end of it, right? Is that the secrets are all good, and this a free secret is always super good.
I did go check out the 1/3 spells, and there are so many of them. It's insane. Like, yeah. I was really shocked how many, because that was my thought. I was like, oh, secrets. This is going to be good, because most of the time it's going to cast a secret. And then I started digging through, and I was like,
yeah,
oh, no.
There's so many.
No, there are so many spells.
Well, there it's are 20 shaman varied. Spells that are unplayable that cost three or less, right? Like, I mean, come on. They all overload you.
I kind of wish this said at the end of your turn, put a random spell in yours in your opponent's hand or something like that. Like, I think it's so much more fun this way.
No, I think this is way more fun.
But then it would be playable, and we don't want it playable, so I get that. I get people.
I would be not at all excited about another put a spell in your hand and your opponent's hand. I am very excited to play a card that's going to do something random and dumb.
Immediately.
Like, right? That is like, because it could be, it will range from amazing to awful and everywhere in between.
It's going to kill itself more often than people think. Oh,
on two, right? If you're playing on two, the chance that your opponent has a minion out probably isn't great. Yeah. Like, it dying is very likely, or just casts like Shadow Word Death, right? Like nothing gets cost five health or more, right? So it's like, cool. This card seems like a lot of fun.
All right.
So I gotta get a drink of water here before this one. So I picked the 1-mana 1/1 hunter card, Vulpertinger. It's a W, but I want to be Vulpertinger, so that's the way I'm gonna pronounce it as Vulpertinger. Battle cry, summon a copy of this.
It's a 1-mana 1/1. Did you mention that? I think.
Yeah, 1-mana 1/1. It's a cute cat, right?
Yeah.
It's a cute cat that can get buffed. So yes. So the sound effect is going to be, pitiful mortals, you will all die.
Oh man, that's good. and then the ancient void hound should really be like, "Hey boys, what's up?"
I was gonna do that, but I thought it'd be too cheese ball. I was gonna be like, "Woof woof woof woof" for the ancient void hound. Yeah, that's where I was going with. That was my first thought.
Funny.
How good is the art and theme? It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So it is a puppy bird wing. It's a jackalope, basically. It's a jackalope with wings and fangs, with a big old smile on its face. It is amazing.
It is amazing. Mythological creature pre Blizzard, by the way.
That is great. I'm so happy.
It's like German folklore. Yeah.
So Vulpertinger. So it will be like a Vulpertinger then, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Look at me. I got lucky. How fun or interesting is the card? So it depends on how you define fun or interesting. So
well, how fun is the card? Let's talk about the word fun.
Yeah.
The dictionary definition of the word fun. I hate that.
So like if you are defining fun as like consistently winning, this is a very fun card. If you define fun as doing crazy, random, bonkers, random three cost spells on turn two, this isn't the card for you. So, how good is it? This is a great card. I haven't watched any of the pre reveal stuff because that stuff, it takes the fun out of it for me. But like, I think this card is incredible. Like Cute Cat was good and you couldn't buff Cute Cat. Like, the fact that you can like summon this on, you know, it's just, it's great. You can tutor it out of your deck and then play it on what, three or four or whatever. And then you're getting 2 3/3s. That's good.
I think it'll be interesting to see if that's worth it. I think that'll be interesting. My argument, I mean, I've heard the Cute Cat argument a lot. And my thought is always like, Cute Cat was really bad.
Cute Cat was really good. Cute Cat was played really all the
bad.
Time.
It was really bad. And it was in a deck that had no other good one drops.
Right.
It was like, there's no, I have to put,
I mean,
this
what are
in.
You playing on one now though? Right. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. I think this is one that I think will be really interesting to see. I'm not discounting your opinion, dude. I think
2-1-1s on one has been traditionally very good, right? So it was good when it was in Druid, when it was deal 2 damage or summon 2-1-1s. So 2-1-1s on one is good. right?
Yeah, I think in my head, I'm like, if you buff this, it's real good, and if you don't, it's...
I think it's better on one unbuffed than it is later in the game buffed.
Really?
Yep. Hmm. Yep.
I think the question is, would you rather have 2-1-1s or the 2-2 Battle Mage, which is okay, which is, you know, it's pretty good, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is be really interesting. I think I can't wait to find out what is good and what's not. It's going to be really cool meta to figure out.
Me too. Cool. What do you got for us?
So my next card is High Abyss Allura. She's a 4-mana, 3/6 paladin and priest card. Spell burst, cast a spell from your deck. Targets this if possible. All right. Her sound effects are going to be hammer, check. Book, check. Posture, check. Ain't nobody dope as me. I'm just so holy.
What just happened? I'm going to be so sad if that's not what it is.
So fresh and so holy.
Yeah.
So she looks like she's getting ready to for like the picture shoot to you know, putting all the shiny gold armor on to show how humble she is, you know?
Yes, right. Like,
I've read this book mostly. Like, you know, she looks like she's posing for a photograph. Anyway.
Yeah.
How good is the art and theme? Eh. You know, paladins in general are pretty, like, as far as, like, could they make this an interesting paladin? Not really. It's a hammer carrying golden armor.
But it's a hammer, you know, with, like, the S of, like, Skullamance.
Skullamance, that's cool. Yeah. I guess maybe there's a church on campus. Like,
sure, why not?
What's happening?
Where else is the paladin and the priest going to go to learn to how to be paladins and priests?
That's very true. How fun or interesting is it? Well, it's kind of been done, right? Casting spells from your deck. Not in a spell burst, though. And it's a cool way to do it that synergizes with the paladin archetype. I don't think this works in priest. Priest runs removal spells. Running priest without removal spells seems bonkers to me for one card. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a paladin card. It's not really a priest card.
Yeah, and this is a paladin card. It's just no reason for it to be a priest. You couldn't play as a priest. Unless you were playing just like big spell priest where you were looking for like mass res, right? And that kind of stuff. So maybe put this in res priest where you're not playing like the boy. I mean,
yeah, that's a good call. But then you're still not running any removal.
Or right, you're running like, you're playing this later in the game as like a third mass res or something. I could see
you
that.
You cannot put Shadow Word Pain or Death in your deck if you're running this.
You couldn't put Pain in your deck. You could put Death in your deck, right?
It'll still work. It still kills the 1/3 on the Mage Secret.
Right? Oh, does it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because the spell has been cast, it's already triggered past
the requirement. Just kills the minion. Okay.
Oh, maybe it doesn't, though. It says targets this if possible. Yeah, so I guess Death wouldn't target this.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the one that's more important to run, too.
Yeah.
Science. Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, no, I mean, anyway.
Is it cool to have another tool for Res Priest? I don't know if that's cool, actually.
No, I don't think Res Priest is going anywhere, though. I'm not too worried about it.
I know.
How good is this? It's real, real, real good in Paladin. I think it's really good. I think it's just below the nerf tier, where that nerf tier is. I think it's going to be one of the better cards in the set. Do I think Paladin is going to be tier one with that deck? I don't know. That remains to be
this
seen.
This could completely backfire, though.
But this fits the archetype entirely. I don't see how.
So, like, if you're not playing this on, so let's say you have your true silver champion up and you play this and now you have a 1/4, right? Weapon. Or,
you don't, but you play this and then you trigger it. I think you would probably plan out your game better than having your 4/2 weapon up, right?
Yeah.
Keep going. Sorry.
No, but there are going to be misses with this, but there are also going to be some big old hits, so I agree.
Yeah.
I do think, like, there are going to be times when you're going to... I mean, yes, any random effect card, right, that where it's like, even if no, it's not random, it's still random because you've got the randomness of draw, right, and that kind of stuff. So
I think the biggest thing with this is it is spellburst. There are going to be times when you don't draw You really only have four cards you're going to want to play on this, and that is two copies of Librum of Wisdom and two copies of Hand of Adal. I don't think the new rampagey kind of card that is Priest Ballad, Warrior is going to see much play. I think you're going to need one of your cheaper spells to activate this. So I could see this getting stuck in your hand and like you can't activate it the turn you play it. And I bet it's going to be right to just play it on four a lot of times.
Oh, I think a 3/6 on four. Yeah, I think it's right to play it on four sometimes just because you need a 3/6 body.
Yeah, and your opponent's going to do something suboptimal to remove it, and then you get initiative. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Anyway.
I think, yeah, seems good.
Woohoo.
So my card is Speaker Ghidra. She is a 3-mana 1/4 druid shaman minion. She has rush and wind fury and spell burst, gain attack and health equal to the spell's cost. So
I only just realized that she's standing in a giant's hand.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she's not a centaur. I thought she was a centaur. I thought this was her horse body. That is a finger.
Yeah. Nope. There are three fingers there with gross fingernails. I'm getting to that though. I'm getting to that. So the sound effect is just going to be just like of like fingers coming up through the ground. And then how good is the art or theme? So my first question is, so she's holding a book and casting a spell. And so like, my first thought is, do Torn have both fingers and hooves? Like, they have hooves, because I've seen them, but then they also have fingers? Like, how is that? How do they evolve both fingers and hooves? that is insane. And then my second comment is, are those wooden fingernails? Like, is she summoning the fingers? I have no idea what's going on here. Like, is she fighting off the fingers? Is she summoning the fingers? I don't know what's happening. I'm very confused. And she seems to be wearing a
full art.
And she appears to have a wooden WWE championship belt there as well. So just a lot going on here. How fun or interesting is this card? I think anytime that you have a Wind Fury card, it's going to be fun and or interesting. I just think Wind Fury is just, it's so powerful that oftentimes the card has to be pretty not good to make up for the fact that it has Wind Fury. And then the spell burst gain attack equal to the spell's cost. So like a 1/4 on 3 is good, but like anything other than that, like it's not going to be great. So when are you playing this, right? So that is it fun? I think it's both fun and interesting, because Wind Fury is fun, and I think like the right time to play this is interesting, right? Like, do you play it on 3 to gain the board control, and then do you play a spell on 4 to buff its stats to go face, right? So I think the card is interesting, because I think that you can look at the Rush and Vin Fury as one part of the card, and the Spell Burst is another part of the card, and how they work not in tandem like you'd look at other cards that are Spell Burst. How good is it?
For me, oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead. No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to talk about how good it was.
How good is it? So on one hand, this is a Druid minion. And on the other hand, it is a Shaman minion. So... So, you know, who knows? Because as a druid minion, it could be great. But as a shaman minion, it's also could be really bad. So,
I think it's probably better in shaman, but I think it probably gets played in both. I don't know. I thought it was really interesting. Matt at Arms and I in our chat today were having that conversation, and we were like going, I was going, up the up escalator, and he was going down the down escalator. He was like, hey, the Speaker Ghidra, like, I'm starting to think maybe it's not as good as some people think. And I was like, when I saw this for the first long while, I thought this was terrible. And now I'm going up the escalator. Like, I think this is playable. I don't think this is super broken or anything. I've heard a lot of people talk about it like it's really good, and I'm a little confused. But the Wind Fury is something that I think Russian Wind Fury, the more I think about it, it's not as much about the spell burst. It's about Russian Wind Fury.
That's what I was saying, right? So
Yeah, this can, if you play a one mana spell with it, you can clear 2/2/2s. Like, that's, and still have a body. I think it's going to see a lot of play in Shaman, who has weaker cards, honestly.
Yeah, I think this is a really good card in Shaman because Shaman cards are crap. I think this is a really bad card in Druid because Druid has really good cards.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see.
Yep. And also cool. The fingers are creeping me out, man. What is going on there? I have so many questions and they're just all unanswered.
I just tried to Google the full art and I couldn't find it on a brief Google search. You might be able to find it on the artist website or something, but
yeah,
I'd love to see the full art because this is a situation where I bet the full art is much, much more beautiful than the crop version. But yeah,
and then the Shaman Druid thing, by the way, it is a joke. I'm not saying this card is great in Shaman and bad in Druid because Druid and Shaman. It is. I hope people get the joke. Because it's a joke. I have no idea.
Was a joke.
I don't know. I have no idea if this card's going to be playable, but I do know that she has a wrestling belt. Congratulations on your championship.
It's pretty funny. All right. And she looks like a centaur. I know she's not a centaur now, and I still think she's a centaur. Okay.
So she has three fingers, though, right? She does not seem to have just three digits. What's going on?
I don't remember that being a thing with Torin. I thought they had
I'm
like
so four, confused as what's going
maybe
on.
Maybe she's
here.
Missing fingers. I don't remember, though. It's been a long time since I played WoW. All right. Here we go. My last card is the other most controversial card of the set.
Good
Mind
job.
Render Elusia. I mean, they're just my favorite cards. Like, 2 mana, 1/3. Priest minion. Battlecry. Swap hands and decks with your opponent until your next turn. Yeah, so you get to swap hands and decks with your opponents. How fun is that? All right, so the sound effects are going to be, when you play her, she's going to go... The number for Blizzard's customer complaint line is 1-800. I have your cards now. how good is the art and theme? She looks like a priest. It looks like a priest from World of Warcraft. There's nothing really special happening
she
here.
Looks,
I don't know who she is.
Okay, that's not fair. She looks
Shadow
like,
Priest.
Nope. She looks like Sub-Zero. She looks like a female Sub-Zero.
A little bit.
Yeah.
How fun or interesting is this card? So much fun. This is one of my favorite cards they've ever printed.
Really?
I've said it before on the podcast. Playing my opponent's cards is my favorite thing. This is so exciting. There's going to be so many times when it's not optimal to play this. Most of the time, this is really bad. And it's going to be really interesting to try and play it in a way where I don't want to give them this card in my hand. I need to dig for something in their hand. Making that decision about when is a good time to play this card is going to be extremely difficult. And most of the time, it's really, really bad, except for 10% of the time when it's really, really good and people are going to hate it.
You think this is played in your deck, huh? This is definitely not put in your deck, but you're going to play
it
as
I didn't
a priest
say that
on
at
the
all.
Regular, right?
I mean, like, I didn't say that at all.
Okay.
I
assumed you were putting it in your deck.
I am. I am 100%. Yeah. I think it will go in some archetypes at some point for some reasons. I think it's good enough to go in your deck. I do.
I think it's going to be discovered, it's going to be like found off of, it's going to be like generated from Galakrond.
Yeah, and that'll be a huge nerf
in the
to
late
Galakrond.
Game. And it's going
to
be
huge nerf to Galakrond because you don't want this.
Or you do want it because you have nothing else going on.
But you never have nothing else going on in Galakrond. You have full hands of half of your cards are garbage and half of them are really good. That's generally
what
you have.
But like defensively, if you're playing against a tempo deck and defensively, if you can just like, you know, switch hands for a turn and then just like burn their cards, right? Essentially, you can just win the game there.
Yeah, but there'll also be times when they don't have what you need or you can't give them your Murazond. Or you can't give them, you know, like there's going to be so many times where you have cards that you can't. I think people in general, and I know I'm sorry I keep saying people, I know you haven't been listening. A lot of people are really scared of this card. I think it's mostly bad. I think this card is mostly bad.
I think this is mostly bad, but it's going to play a role in the World Championship and it'll be a generated card and people will lose their minds about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I said for how good is it I said it's playable, not much more than that. I think it's like Lazul a lot. Sometimes
this is
it's
nowhere
nutty.
Near as good as Lazul. You think it's as good as Lazul?
I didn't say that. I said it's like Lazul, and I was just going to explain why.
Oh, my bad. It's like one in the morning. My
All
listening
right.
skills aren't great right now.
That's okay. So it's like Lazul in that sometimes it's nutty. Mostly it's bad or it's okay. Mostly it's going to be okay. Like you're going to be able to fit it in somewhere and get some use out of it. Sometimes it's nutty, but I think the high rolls are higher on this card. And I think the low rolls are much lower in that sometimes you just can't play this. And that's never the case with Lazul, right? Like with Lazul, you can always play Lazul. Sometimes you don't want to because a 3-2 for 2 is bad. But like sometimes this will be in your hand and it will be completely unplayable, but the power level for its spiking is much higher than Lazul because you get to remove a card from your opponent. So I think it's a really interesting card to compare to Lazul. I don't think it's as good as Lazul, but when it's good, it's much better. So it's a weird, this is just a, it's got like a real wider range. But probably its average use case is worse. That's what I would say. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really interested in like the people who think this is going to be like crazy good.
In tournament lineups, if there's ever anything of a combo meta, this
it
is
just wrecks
nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you still have to draw it. It's one card in your deck. You know, yeah. like you can't tutor this. So, I love this card. I think it's great, and I love that they made it. And I don't know. The first time I saw Gnome Furatu, right, the first card where it was like, I'm going to wreck a card in your deck, I flipped out. And I thought that card was, I hated that card. I was like, I don't care if it's good or bad. I just don't want other people messing with my decks. And the more I've been playing Hearthstone over the years, the less I'm like, I'm fine with people messing with my decks in my hand. It's a card game. The cards mm-hmm. and your deck are part of the game. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, let's explore that space. I think it's cool. It's going to be really weird to see people playing around this card if it's in decks. It's going to
yes.
be really weird.
I think that'll be the interesting bit. I think the part about like the combo destruction cards, right? So like, you know, said Gnome Furatu or Dirty Rat.
Or my all-time favorite, which is Rin.
Yes.
Where you destroy their deck.
Yeah, right.
That's just, like, I'm sorry, that is just a blast. Playing a couple cards from your hand. We were wrecking people's decks. Oh, beautiful. Nothing better. Nothing better than being able to destroy a Raza Priest deck before they could get Raza online.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's not like messing with decks is a new thing anymore. I mean, Bomb Warrior is a thing.
Yeah.
And it will wreck. It'll completely wreck archetypes, right? Like, so I don't see how people can get mad about that bit. And like, if you are trusting this one card out of 30 to be how you are going to win against a combo deck, that seems unlikely to me. But like you said, if it's a tech, hopefully I get this if I run into this specific matchup, then maybe. But traditionally, they haven't necessarily always worked where like you could just like wreck a combo, right? Like, it's people have been afraid of it in the past, and it just hasn't been a thing that really has ever happened. Like,
yeah.
So I'm not too concerned about this, like being like the combo wrecker, right? Like, I mean,
no, I'm
Blizzard
not
itself doesn't is so afraid of combos itself that like I'm not. I mean, it's just yeah.
But also, they have printed some combo cards this meta, and like yeah. people who like combo, they're kind of flipping out because they're like, this will wreck my combo. And I'm like, there should be a counter to your combo.
Yep.
Beyond just killing you before you play your combo.
Yep.
Like in Magic, we have counter spells. I'm going to counter your combo cards. I'm going to hold them and I'm going to wait. I need a way to counter your combo that isn't just killing you first.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's my option to beat your combo deck is dead when I rolled into you on ladder.
Yep.
And the thing that decided it was you and me playing each other on ladder rather than that. So like, yeah, some people really hated Dirty Rat. I love Dirty Rat. And just for that reason, well, it gives me an opportunity. It's really hard to pull off, but it gives me an opportunity to pull that thing out of your hand. I love that counter. We should have things in our deck that are able to counter other archetypes. That's good for the game, in my opinion.
Yeah, a combo that you're able to pull off every single game isn't fun for anybody except for you.
No, inevitable wing cons are awful. A little bit barfy. Yeah.
Yep. There's nothing less fun than an inevitable wing con.
Yeah.
Looking at you, rogue. So that's it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. You can find all our socials, media, and content information at squelchcast.com. This Wednesday, the 5th, we are going to do our card review stream. It's going to be a little dopey because we're a little dopey. Head over to twitch.tv/dinoplay. The O is a 0 because I'm cool.
Yeah, and thank you very much. And remember, we love you, and this is a game, and games are supposed to be fun.
For all the times you said while playing in one game. For all the times
this makes me smile so much.
I know, I started dancing.
I definitely got a bit of a headache. And I'm not feeling it so well tonight, so I hope that went well.
Yeah, I think it was a good episode. I think all our episodes are good. We're the best podcasters.
We are the best. So. No, I'm not being self-conscious now that it's done. I mean, that was the best.
It was the best. Almost broke my phone up. I mean, did you think it wasn't the best? That'd be weird. It's always the best. Every episode we do is the best. So we're always one-upping ourselves, and we're always like 10 up over everybody else.
Sweet. Is this how other people think of themselves?
If you're making $40 million, dollars a year, it is.
It very much is.
Can you imagine? Like, I just can't. Like, and that was why I put that on Twitter. Like, I can't imagine having that ego where you feel like I deserve this money. I have earned this money. It's just, and maybe this is just. I mean, maybe people who get to that. This a different headspace, a different, you know, but I just can't, like,
people are so adaptable.
Like, I guess so, right? Yeah.
You're in a situation, in a context for enough of your life, you believe what you believe.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm tired. I'm going to get this out tomorrow.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. You should go ask for a raise. Ask to be paid $40 million a year.
I will. I will. Yep. Tomorrow, we have an all-school meeting tomorrow. I'm going to be like, yo, I should make $40 million a year. And
they're
everybody
like,
will
and
laugh.
You're like, have you heard my podcast?
Have you heard my podcast? I hope you haven't.
Oh, man.
No, people know I have a podcast. Like, everything, like, all that stuff got, like, as soon as, like, we started working from home and like we had all like the virtual meeting stuff. Like you couldn't hide the fact that your webcam like was streaming and like could like do high definition and that and that you had a very obviously expensive mic setup. Like that stuff like was like, wow, your camera's great. What is it? Oh, it's a Sony such and such that I have you know, worked through it's just, I don't even.
It's pretty funny.
I had people asked, I was like, yeah, here's what it is. And like, I didn't buy the camera to be a webcam, but like, I had the camera and I could make it into a webcam. So I did. Right?
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I got a new webcam last week. And, I would have bought a nicer one probably, but obviously it's been so hard to find webcams.
Right? I can't believe you found one.
Yeah. So they had it locally and it worked well.
Like
my brother, I also got like a $30 Microsoft like keyboard and mouse pack because I have a wireless mouse and keyboard from my last computer and I don't like them. Yeah. And so I just got like the cheapest one I could find that didn't have a rollerball mouse, which was funny to me that I could still get one.
I'm stunned you can still find those.
And then I brought it home and I got like the largest paper cut I've had in years on my hand. And I deal with paper at school all the time. I get paper cuts all the time. I'm an art teacher. And I look down and it's like, you know, it's sliced like across my palm. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And then I was like, Microsoft. My brother works for Microsoft. And I was so close. You. And then I forgot. I was going to take a photo and like treat him like he was the complaint line for
you should have,
you know, the customer service.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah. And then I saw him in person before I thought to do it or before I got around to doing
it. Does your brother work in Canada?
Yeah, he works in Vancouver.
Oh, I just assumed he like worked in Washington.
No, yeah, oh, no. Okay. The Coalition, the studio he works at. This is kind of weird that I'm talking about what studio he works at, but yeah, for Gears. I think we've said he works at Gears on the podcast before. So
yeah, I think so.
He makes Gears of War, and he works in Vancouver. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize he worked in Vancouver. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I always assumed that he was down in Washington. Which isn't far.
He goes down to Washington sometimes, but obviously not for a while.
Yeah because we know why. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Super proud of my brother. He's done amazing work, and he has a pretty cool position in his job. I'm very, very proud of my big brother. He's honestly an amazing brother too, and I don't mind saying that. My brother,
does he make $40 million a year?
No, my brother. No.
Okay, God, no. I was gonna ask to borrow $1 million.
Yeah.
I wasn't gonna.
My
even
brother
borrow.
Does. Does not have $1 million for you, Dan.
Just give me $1 million, please. Brother of Enthralamund. Enthralamund 2, please give me $1 million.
I was just going to tell you his gamer tag. Then I was like, he probably doesn't want that.
No, I can guarantee you.
He has a great gamer tag, though. I love it. I love it. And it's like 15 years old, and it's fantastic. And I love
my,
it.
My sister's first screen name... when we got AOL was Tanner than Dan, because she used to just tan easier than I did. We both tanned very easily.
Tanner than Dan?
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
When my brother and I first started writing songs together, when we used to play music, and we're like, okay, my buddy also was playing with us, and we like played a couple parties or whatever, but like, we're like, we have a band, like, what's our name? And we're trying to figure it out, and we named our band Mark because my sister had a crush on a guy named Mark. So we thought that was really funny. I know that it's so stupid in hindsight, right? But it was like, yeah.
I am terrible with names. Like, I might be the worst person with names you've ever met in the entire world. Like, you've ever met. But there was one person who was my sister had a friend who was a boy when she was a first grader, and I had the dumbest nickname for him. It was what a second grader would nickname the friend of his sister. It was worse than that, even.
So what was, and you don't want to share?
No, because it was actually his name. So like, it was his name, aww, but then like with the word butt included. And that, aww, was it. Like, it was the dumbest name. And I still remember that person. I could not name like two friends of mine from elementary school. I could name two.
My wife's parents' phone number, the last four numbers, I don't mind sharing the last four numbers of their phone number, spell the word butt. When we started dating, of course, cell phones weren't a huge thing back then. And it was like, what's your phone number? And she told me like the first three numbers and then butt. And I'm like, what? And then my kids, they're learning to use the phone, right? And we have an old rotary phone in our house, which came up on the podcast the other day. And so they've been having fun doing the old rotary phone, right?
Darn right.
And so I'm like, they're like, what's grandma and grandpa's phone number again? And then like, I read the first six numbers, then I'm like, but
now please, like, is there any chance that the three numbers before the four numbers spell the word four?
No.
Oh, that's just sad.
I doubt it. No, they don't.
Oh, yeah. Too bad. Dang. Missed opportunity.
But I always thought that was funny.
That's fantastic. That's so great.
I wish
great.
It was my phone number. Yeah. Anyway.
Me too.
I had a friend whose phone number, when we were at about grade six, sad his parents got divorced. And I remember going over to his dad's house for the first time. And the phone rang. And there's a pizza place here called Panagopoulos. It's called Panago now. It was called Panagopoulos Pizza back then. And he answered his phone and he was like, Panagopoulos. And he was like, oh, hey, mom, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what is going on here? And I was like, why did you answer the phone Panagopoulos? And he was like, oh, our phone number is one off of Panagopoulos's phone number. And he's like, so like a couple times a week I answer the phone and it's someone looking for a pizza. So now I just take their orders. And I'm like, but then they don't get their pizza. And he's like, I know, right? Some 12-year-old answering the phone.
That's
was only there once when he did it, and they asked him like four times, like, "Are you sure you're Panago? Are you sure you're Panagopoulos?" And he was
like, "That's so good." Yeah. Oh gosh, I was looking in the mirror the other day, which I don't do all that often. If you see my Twitter handle, you probably know why. But but I was looking at myself, and I was like, "Huh, hi." Definitely look 40, yeah. And like a bearded 40. And if I didn't know me, I would look like not intimidating, but like kind of like, do I want to talk to this person? And I just thought back to like my best friend in high school and college, and he passed away when we were in college. It was super sad and awful.
Sorry.
But he had a great like parents and spent like a lot of time over at his house when I was in high school. And his dad just was like, just like he was kind of an awesome human being and owned his own business. It was like a print shop, and he was also kind of a biker, and he had like, you know, a like, you know, long hair that he, you know, had tied back in, yeah, like a braid or like in, you know, with rubber bands. And he always had like a beard or a goatee or something like that. And he was just kind of an intimidating looking human being who was actually just quite nice. And I was like, yeah, huh, I have got to the point in my life where I'm a very nice person, I think, but like I just like if I look grumpy, I look really grumpy. Like, like when I'm like on like a Zoom meeting or like doing a Zoom call with a student, I like make it like I try to smile as often as possible because I have like a very real RBF, like a resting beard face, where I just look angry if I'm just like, you know, not smiling.
That's pretty funny. I don't think I have the same problem as much. When I talk to people at work, they're usually like, why are you upset about something? You're always happy. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad I come off that way.
Well, I have a coworker who will be during a week, and I've worked with him for 4 years, a very good friend. And we'll be in a meeting, and I'll be like taking notes or something like that, or listen to what he's saying to like say, kind of like, you know, we talk about programming, that kind of stuff. You know, we'll like bounce ideas off each other. And I'll be thinking about it, about, you know, what he's saying, and, you know, like what I think about that from my opinion. And he'll look at me and go, "Why are you mad?" I'm like, I'm not mad. I'm thinking. He goes, "Oh, okay." But like once mad, a meeting every week for 4 years, he'll be like, "Why are you mad?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm not mad. Not totally not mad."
Your thinking face is probably the exact same as like his dad's angry face or something. Right, like it's probably just an unfortunate like lookalike situation, right, where it's like that there's some trigger in his brain from knowing someone else, right, where he's programmed that into his head.
Like, why are you mad? Like, not mad, totally not mad. Just thinking.
Oh man, that's too funny. All right,
should we end this podcast 20 minutes after we've ended the podcast?
Probably should.
Okay, thank you everybody
for listening. Everybody,
you're awesome.
Bye.